Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan along for the ride as well. Yes, I know it's a little bit different today. I've got no hat. I look like I actually showered in the last 24 hours twice, if you're keeping score at home. I got like a collared shirt. I got to go do a little NFL draft coverage right after this. That's why we got the early live start time today.
I'm so happy for you, and I'm so happy for NFL fans that get to listen to you because yeah. I honestly, Chris, let me compliment you for real for a sec, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know a bigger sports fan in the world. Like you and I used to think it was talking Jake, but I think you got him beat because you got a depth of knowledge that goes back to 1948. He can't do that. So I'm happy for you, and I'll be watching all your stuff today on NFL Network.
Will you be watching with Matthew is the question.
There's a possibility that we'll be watching the draft together. Possibility.
Okay. Yeah. I love it how you said I want to compliment you, and then you know.
Yeah, just. 20,
let's see, how long was that? 23 years before I was born. You just aged me by almost a quarter century right here. Put me on blast. That's okay.
Age is not a bad thing. It's wisdom. No, it's white hair means wisdom.
It does. And by the way, if you tune into NFL Network, I'll be doing the pre-draft show today from 4 to 7 Eastern. You will see this darker, so don't be surprised.
I was going to ask that. Usually you go a little darker before you get a big event.
Yeah. Here on, you know, when we're streaming, it doesn't look as bad, but on TV, because of the distance, it looks like I should be sleeping under the freeway. So I don't want to be doing that anytime in the near future, although you never know. All right, we start off with the tip of the cap, even though I don't have mine. Plouffe can do it, and he should. Josh Naylor's had a tremendous year for the Cleveland Guardians, but what a moment. This is a woman named Carolyn, and she is unfortunately in hospice care, and she has been a huge Cleveland baseball fan. Josh Naylor is her favorite player. He got wind of this. He brought her flowers. He took a picture with her on the field. We've talked about this countless times that ball players sometimes don't know the impact they can have on just a regular person's life. And here, this is a woman who unfortunately is in her last few days, weeks, months. We don't know exactly. And she wanted to spend time with him. And there he is.
I love this for like so many different reasons. Good on Josh for going out there and doing this. I totally agree with you. Like as I'm out of the game, you see the game through a different lens. Ball players, you need to be doing like anything you can on every single day to go make somebody's day. And it's something as slight as tossing them a ball or your batting gloves or just signing that one extra autograph. It means the world. I also love that Josh Naylor is that beautiful old lady's favorite player. And like the juxtaposition of those two together is great. Yeah. So when they tell you to don't get emotional on the field or whatever it may be, don't listen to them because even that nice old lady likes it. So
be you.
Get on both of them.
Be you. And Josh Naylor's got a heart of gold. Well done. And Carolyn, we wish you and your entire family well from the entire John Boy media.
Yeah. Sorry to all the Josh Naylor haters out there. It's what are you going to do?
Nothing.
He's winning everybody over.
Let's talk a little baseball. Gunnar Henderson has won a lot of people over. Rookie of the year a season ago, MVP candidate this year. Homers in back-to-back games as the O's took 2 of 3 from the Angels out in Anaheim. Okay. It's the 23 and under crowd in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Does he go first in the draft?
So I just like spent quite a bit of time, I believe it was on Talking Baseball, gushing about Gunnar Henderson, how I'm a little late to the party, but maybe I'm not too late. He's become like, you know, a top five player in baseball for me personally. Like I just love watching this guy play. So really, I think your question comes down to, it's Gunnar Henderson. Is Corbin Carroll still included in this? I think he is. Julio Rodriguez, you can do, you know, some of the other Orioles players. Bobby Witt is...
Ooh, good one. I got to look
the older.
That's a close one.
So I'm just going to answer your question. Yes, I think I would take Gunnar Henderson right now with the pick. He's shown improvement every single year. If you can go, you go back to 2022, 2023, there was some platoon split stuff. Obviously, he's a lefty. His last two homers have been off Tyler Alexander and Matt Moore, and he's looked great. Like those swings are, his swing is so pure, Chris. I love watching the guy play. This year against right-handers, 1.025 OPS. This year versus left-handers, 1.017 OPS. So he's figuring out that platoon thing. I think that'll get better with time. I also believe the strikeout percentage will get better with time, which means the walk percentage will get better with time. Like this guy is just, he's learning about big league pitching. So I'm going to say yes. The only other person I think I would take over him is not even in the big leagues yet, and it might be Paul Skeens.
Mm. So I was wondering if you were going to take a pitcher over a position player.
Skeens, like, I got to see it at the big league level, but like if he comes up and looks like he's looked in the minor leagues, like he might be the only one I take over Gunnar Henderson. But for right now, the guys that are in the big leagues, I'll say yes, I think it is Gunnar.
Right. So okay, so it's Gunnar, Witt, who doesn't turn 24 until June, Corbin Carroll, J-Rod, and then if you want your choices of Jacksons, that's fine. I mean, yep. Jackson Churio,
Merrill's been incredible.
He's been phenomenal. And those are all good, good choices. I think this guy's going to stay at shortstop, first of all. He's awesome. He made a play yesterday where I was like, oh, damn, that's just some special, special stuff. Witt might win out just because of the speed factor. I think that he could change a game in the late going with his speed. Not that Gunnar is slow.
Gunnar Henderson's the 92nd percentile in sprint speed. So
I know, but I don't think that he's Bobby Witt speed.
He's not. No. Bobby Witt is 99. He's the guy.
Right. That's, oh, man, this is a tough one. I didn't even think I'd have this much difficulty when I wrote the question. I love Gunnar Henderson too. And I took him this week in the homer draft, and he's made me look smart because I went two straight weeks with nothing, with bagels.
Yeah, the body type gets me. Everything seems very solid with Gunnar. 6'3", 220 is what he's listed at, but he moves really, really well for that. Like almost like a Troy Tulowitzki type movement out there. But the swing is what, the swing has me locked right now, Chris. I just love it. The power, the quickness of the hands, the repeatability of it, everything looks really nice from him.
And I love it when lefties are great against lefties. There's just something special about it because I think you just don't expect.
He hasn't been career-wise. Career-wise, he's still like a 640 OPS, but this year he's taken the step. Those two homers early on help.
There's one other guy I would put in here, Evan Carter.
Yeah.
That's one.
Wyatt Langford. I mean, there's a lot of young kids.
Dude, Evan Carter's right now. 21.
Yep.
He's 21. Yeah.
Hey, the guy that we are dismissing yesterday, Vlad, he's only, what, 24, 25?
Like, 25, yeah. Yeah. I will go Gunnar by this much, but it's.
Over who?
Over Bobby Witt, and then I'll go Julio.
Oh, you. Okay.
That's where I would go.
Julio's a really good one too. I think, you know, we're getting a little bit of recency bias. He's had some struggles early on last year, struggles this year. But I think, how about this? Like peak, who are you taking?
Well, I mean, the idea is that you're picking for just to build the team.
Yeah, I take Gunnar.
Okay,
Gunnar or Skeens, man. I'm telling you, that guy could be a problem.
He's going to be fat. Get up here soon, please. We're waiting for you. We didn't even mention Ellie, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, my bad.
Ellie could be a guy.
Yeah. He had, by the way, Gunnar Henderson had almost 70 extra base hits as a rookie. That's pretty
He's
damn
a problem.
Good. Yeah, he is. As for Wednesday's game, the Orioles won 6-5. There was a little bit of controversy. There was a lot of controversy. So the Angels are down a run in the ninth, and Joe Adell is at first. It's always a base running adventure when he's out there on the paths. Tries to get into scoring position with two down. And he is ruled out on an attempted steal. Well, of course, we're going to replay that thing. We're going to take a look at it. And the Angels broadcasting, they think, listen, we're definitely continuing to play because he got his right foot in there on the base before Henderson tagged him. Absolutely, right? Isn't that the way it's going to go? Well, maybe not.
This call goes the way we think it should. Crowd is chanting safe.
After review, call in the field stance. The runner's out.
That is absurd. That is absurd.
That's unbelievable.
That's a joke. That's a joke. Absolutely ridiculous. It is clear on the replay that Adele was safe, and it is a ridiculous way to end this game. That's garbage.
He's had a couple of doozies this year already, man.
Yeah, those guys are good together. There's some fiery testosterone in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we've only spent three of our four shows this week talking about the umpiring. Was it that bad?
So that call in particular, it is bad because we go from one human element to another human element here. There's got to be something better than what we have. And I think Jimmy's shown that cricket has some sort of like vibration system that can really hone in on stuff like this. Like, it is difficult. Like, if I'm sitting in front of a screen, I did watch that. Like, part of me right away said, oh yeah, he's safe. And then you start to look at it again. You're like, okay, where did that glove, or when did that glove actually, you know, make contact? So like, there was a little bit of a doubt, and the rule says has to be clear, convincing evidence to overturn. Call in the field stands. Like, it goes from one human element to the other human element. And again, I want the human element in the game, but once you review something, it should be like the right call. So we have to figure that whole aspect of it out. Like, we can't just have, like, no offense to the older crowd, like some 65, 70-year-old dude watching a screen. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, yeah, you get to slow it down, but sometimes, you know, if you watch baseball, you get to see quite a few replays. Sometimes the replays are tough to read. I mean, I don't know. What did you think of that play? Did you think it was clear and convincing that he was safe?
I believe.
I know Angels fans say yes.
Yes, but I believe he was safe. I look at it and say he's safe. Would
Me
I?
Me too.
Would I bet my mortgage on it? I don't think so. And isn't that the deciding factor when you have to overturn a call, right?
That's clear and convincing evidence.
So for you, is it clear and convincing?
Initially, like the very first shot, I'm like, oh yeah, he's safe.
I know.
And then when they start to slow it down even more, I got a little bit like confused. And I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm like 85% sure.
So if you were in the replay out in Chelsea and looking at it, what would you have said?
Well, I'm an entertainer and I want to entertain, so I would have let him be safe just so the game played on.
Okay, let's pretend that you actually
I'm playing Puppet Master.
Yeah, okay, there. Behind the curtain. Let's pretend that you actually wanted to do your job as a major league umpire. And that's who's up there, right? It's umpiring crews that aren't on the field that particular week. And so
I think you asked the right question. Would you put your house up on it?
And
he was safe. I would say call stands. If that was the question.
Right. And this, we're not trying to take shots at Angel fans or anything else.
We're going to get in trouble on the internet. Oh, man.
Okay. I understand why. But at the end of the day, that's what you have to look at it. It's not just a ball game. Like, the whole idea is, would you stake everything you have on overturning this call? Some of them I would have. The one with Michael Harris yesterday, where the ball was fouled off the ground and Betancourt made it look like it tipped off of his shoe and he caught it for a third strike, that one I would put my house up for.
That's a whole different issue. You can't even review that one.
I know, but I'm saying if we could review it, then
of course, that's clear.
Right. That's clear and convincing. So when you get back to the Joe Adele play, by the way, can we just make a universal rule that Joe Adele is not allowed to run the bases other than just go station to station? Let's make him like an old video game.
This one's not like his problem. He tried to make a play to get to second base, get in scoring position, and like most likely, Chris, he was safe. So I'm not bagging on the kid for this one.
Yeah.
There's a couple earlier in the year that you could talk about, but not this one.
Mead in the chat says clear and convincing equals 90% in court.
Ooh, I said 85.
Okay.
Is that really what it means? If you're 90% sure somebody did something, that's clear and convincing. Okay.
Then 90% of my mortgage.
I'm trying to like never actually be in court, like ever in my life.
Have you ever been in the back of a cop car?
I have. A couple times. But never got charged with anything.
Arrested? Never arrested.
In Rochester, I got put in the back of a cop car late one night on, what was that street? East Ave, or I don't know what it's called.
What? Drunken.
I just mouthed off to a cop because he was being obnoxious, and I just said something to him, and he freaking just threw me in the back of the cop car.
So what were you in, AAA?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Come on, man. We don't need to call Terry Ryan and have him start getting words on one of the top prospects getting in the back of cop cars.
I didn't really do anything. Like, my mouth gets me in trouble sometimes. I have an authority problem. Yeah.
Never in the back of a cop car.
Really?
Nope.
It's not great, Chris. It's all hard plastic. Nothing cushy back there.
I can't imagine it's great. I'm also 0-3 all-time in fights. I haven't led much of a life, to be honest with you. All right, so end of the day, upon further review, I think we're both equally confused with what happened. All I can tell you is it sucks for the Angels. It sucks for their fans. It was great for baseball fans to hear Wayne Randazzo go nuts. He has quickly become one of my favorite announcers. He is really, really good and funny and excellent. And when he gets pissed off, which has happened a couple times this year, it's even better. All right. Time to get ready for the season ahead with quality shades that are built to last. Our friends right here at Shady Rays have got you covered with these bad boys. Premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. Shady Rays, if you know nothing about them, it's an independent sunglass company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Their shades, they have durable frames. They have crystal clear optics. You look amazing, by the way. Making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. I love them. For many, many reasons. First of all, they make me look like 20 years younger. So I walk outside and everybody's like, hey, who's the cool new guy in Los Angeles? No, that's the old dirtbag who's been living here a quarter century. Plus, if your shades ever go missing or take an unexpected hit, don't sweat it. They have the most insane protection in the history of eyewear. Every pair of these bad boys is backed by lost or broken replacements. And one other thing. If you don't love your shades, and I haven't heard it from one customer, you can exchange them for a brand new pair or return worry-free within 30 days. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head on over to ShadyRays.com. Use the code word today. You're going to get 50% off 2-plus pair of polarized sunglasses, and that offer applies to the custom Jimmy and Jake collab shades. Go get yours now and look even cooler than this guy. We continue on, unfortunately, with a bunch of bumps and bruises. Most notably, Cody Bellinger out indefinitely with a pair of fractured ribs. That sucks for him. He was just starting to swing it a little bit. And then Blake Snell has a strained adductor. They say it's mild-ish, medium-ish, whatever. It could be anywhere from a 2-week stint to maybe a month. Which one is a tougher blow for his respective squad?
I'm going to say it's the Cody Bellinger injury. He, like you said, he was really heating up in his last 8 games, 333, 412, 700. They were 6-2 in those games, you know, winning baseball with him getting hot. So I think that one is big, and ribs are no fun to come back from either. There's really nothing you can do. You just have to sit around till they heal. And then it seems to me like maybe they end up not having him in the outfield as much when he comes back. So that kind of changes your team dynamic. We'll see what PCA does when he gets up here. Still searching for that first hit. Let's go, PCA. You're my guy. Let's go, baby. So I think it's Belly. And the Cubs are, what are they sitting? Are they in second place?
I think so. What are they?
Second place in the division, right behind the Brewers, I believe. So I'll say it's Bellinger. You know, San Francisco, like the Snell thing, I've done adductors before. That's like, for people that don't know what that is, that's like the groin-ish area, like kind of like down your leg. So you think IT band, but opposite side, inside your leg. That's no fun to come back from, especially if you're a pitcher. But like, you know, Blake hasn't been Blake yet. So they really, I guess, aren't missing his production. They will end up doing that, but I still think they have, you know, good top three starters to go on, and then they can kind of figure it out, which they're pretty versed in doing that. It's obviously big for the Giants, but to answer your question, I'll go Bellinger. I think he was starting to heat up, the team's going, and just kind of, it's a downer when something like that happens to your guy.
Yeah, I do think team-wise, it's more with Bellinger and the Cubs. But to me, the more interesting story is Blake Snell. Now, how much of this came about? I know that he's dealt with this in the past, but how much of it came about because He may have rushed himself a little bit, right? He didn't have – what did he throw to, like, sim games to get ready?
Yeah, I don't know if he rushed himself necessarily because he did take that extra couple of days when he got to the big leagues to make sure he was ready, and he may not have, you know, been – tip-top shape.
Right.
I don't know if rushing is...
Okay, that's fair. I still think it's a viable question.
Sure.
The other part of it is, you know, Blake Snell has consistently been a slow starter. So now the slow start gets interrupted, and if it is anything more than two and a half, 3 weeks, then he's got to start to get ramped up, and then he's really not contributing maybe till mid, late June for a team that, you know, is interesting, but they're certainly not scoring at a high rate. Their pitching has actually been really good. Logan Webb is already a Cy Young candidate, our boy. Yeah. And, you know, they've actually done a pretty decent job. Jordan Hicks has been phenomenal. Kyle Harrison is solid. Keaton Wynn has done a great job. They're going to find somebody else. They've got a couple of guys down in the minor leagues who have been pitching pretty well that they could bring up. I remember last year, every turn through the rotation, they only had, it felt like they only had three starters, and then they were going like two bullpen games. They do not want to go back to the bullpen game. They had to do it yesterday, and that didn't work out great. So it's an interesting story because you want to see Blake Snell at his best soon, not like late June if you're a Giants fan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's going to have to go and kind of start the whole thing over again. That's the problem, because you can't throw with this.
No.
I mean, maybe you just do some, like, sit down and just do some arm stuff. I'm assuming you can do that a little bit, but not obviously the same.
Yeah. What do you do? Like, you can't – what can you do?
I think he'll definitely continue doing some shoulder exercises and maybe like some sort of weighted ball program. Maybe you do like seated tosses just to keep your arm. But you could isolate your upper body. I was never a pitcher. I'm assuming they have to do stuff like that, but you can't really be moving it around at all.
Yeah.
Not within the first 10 days.
All right, let's move on to this. Both Central divisions, they weren't expected to do much at the beginning of the year. In fact, if you were to have lined up the six divisions and say point to the two worst, it probably would have been the AL and NL Central in no particular order. However, if you're paying attention, both divisions each have three teams playing at least 560 ball. The AL East is the only other division that can stake that claim. Is it possible we underestimated the Central's?
I mean, clearly we underestimated essentials, and I think it's okay, like, to go into a season and say, hey, this team has some question marks and this is who they filled it with, and we need to see it before we start 100% believing it. You just go off what you have on paper. And if I was to tell you that Seth Lugo was going to have a 203, Brady Singer was going to have a 276, Alec Marsh is going to have a 27, Michael Wacha 3-8, and then Cole Reagans is going to be the worst pitcher by ERA on the Royals, you'd be like, that's BS. They're not going to be looking like that. But here we are, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the season, and some people have, I guess you could say, overperformed. I don't know. And a lot of these teams that we were looking at, they were, you know, basing their rosters around some young, unproven guys. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to be skeptical of that. But what we've seen, I think, over the last few years is some of the younger guys that come up, not all of them, but some of the younger guys that come up are more ready to play than maybe in years past. And I don't know if that's a true statement, but that's the way I feel. I don't know if there's statistics to back that up, but when these guys come up now, you know, they're more ready to play against big leaguers than maybe they used to be. And I don't know if that's just us giving them confidence, saying like, you're the guy. Whereas when I came up, it was like, just don't fuck it up. I think there is a different psyche there, but I think it's okay to question some of the young teams. And I'm fine with being wrong about the Central's. In fact, I love it. And I didn't know your Guardians were going to be a top five offensive team in baseball either. I don't know.
Yeah. And listen, I'll be the first one to say that they've been aided by, I'm not going to say a soft schedule, because everybody, you play the same teams. That stuff doesn't matter.
Well, the AL Central definitely is going to get favored playing the White Sox 13 times a year.
Yeah, well, they've played them three times. Now they've played the A's seven. They're done with the A's. They're done with the Red Sox after Thursday, although the Red Sox have played, in my opinion, really, really good baseball, considering all the injuries that they've had.
So many injuries. Their starting staff has been
ridiculous. So I was actually chatting. I was texting today with Vinny Pasquantino. And he was asking me, he's like, are you going to be in Detroit for the draft? Because they got a day game against Toronto, and then they fly there, I believe, tonight. And I said, no. I said, good luck to your Jets. He's the biggest Jets fan I know. I can't believe it. And we were talking about the division. I said, you guys are off to a great start. He's like, hey, you know, and are your Guardians for real? Because when you – this is the thing I learned about baseball players. You are so focused on what you're doing, you have no idea what's going on in the rest of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. Agreed. And he's like, are they really that good? I've seen their record, but are they good? And we were discussing a little bit. He goes, I'll be honest with you. I really think our division is good this year. And I said, outside of the White Sox, I couldn't get him to bite. He won't say anything. But he's like, yeah, there's four teams that can really win this thing. And in the National League, I still think Pittsburgh is going to fade a bit, leaving four other teams there. Milwaukee has been shocking to me. I thought that losing Corbin Burns in spring training, I thought that that would be, you know, that was like the crowning blow where guys are like, oh, it's really happening. They're just going to dismantle us piece by piece. And then Devin Williams and then Yelly after a hot start during the year. So I'm going to reserve judgment on both divisions. I'm not going to say, did we underestimate them? No. We're a month into this thing. I'm not going to say that yet. I hope I am. I love when there's good competition. Why are you frowning?
I don't know. I mean, a month in, and it's not just one team that's doing it. Like, these teams are performing at, right, you know, a pretty dang high level. And I don't know. There's nothing completely unsustainable about what these teams are doing. I guess you could point to the Royals starters and say maybe they're going to have regression. Indians, or the Guardians, excuse me, mm-hmm, you know, maybe they have a little offensive regression. Maybe Josh Naylor's not a one-dot guy. But for the most part, they're also winning in different ways. It's not just, you know, one set way that's going to regress. I'm a fan of these teams, man. There's some fun teams to watch in these central divisions. I think they play baseball a little bit differently than their coastal counterparts. Don't you agree to that?
I like that, your coastal counterparts. I would say one of the more interesting series this weekend is Tigers hosting the Royals. It's the first time those two will tango, and I think that those two teams will be in it all year long. It's going to be fun.
Twins are the hottest team in baseball, Chris. What are you talking about?
Stop. Don't get me started. Those should count as half wins. Not full.
They
not
do
full
seem players. Inevitable. I'm watching these games. I'm like, I know they're going to win.
Dude,
the White Sox just don't have it.
We're going to have like a full discussion, like a full, I think, baseball therapy session, and just allow White Sox fans in. Let them voice.
They're 3-21.
That is so bad. That is so bad. 3-21. They're on less than 40 wins.
The Marlins are only 6-20. I mean, there's some bad teams in baseball right now.
Yeah, but there's a difference when you're watching the Marlins as opposed to the White Sox. The Marlins, yes, there is. Totally. Yes.
Well, they've been decimated with injuries, too. Like, there's that aspect of it. They also sent down their best starting pitcher for some reason.
I think it's more than that. They've had some games where they've been right in there. The White Sox have had like two of those.
Okay.
Really? That's the way I feel. All right. Finally, better visual from Wednesday. Speaking of the Marlins, Sixto Sanchez, good to see you back on the mound as a starter for the first time since 2020. Apparently, he forgot a little bit about the rules. He did the fake pickoff to second when there were runners on the corners. But was that better than seeing Matt Waldron's knuckleball do its thing out at Coors Field? We actually saw the home plate umpire Bill Miller catch one right in the onions. That's how much movement there was. And he called it a strike, too. Good for him.
Yeah, I love that part right there. He's like, okay, let me pick this ball up. Yeah, that was a strike. I've been watching some Matt Waldron because before the season, I wasn't too familiar with him. I'll put my hand up. And I thought, okay, this guy's a knuckleball. Let's check it out. But like, he's a different type of knuckleball. He's like one of those hybrid knuckleball guys that I despise as a hitter, love watching him as a fan. I'll go with that one. I like Waldron. I like watching that thing dance up there. I love it when catchers just can't catch it. And I wish more catchers would go to the big glove. Remember the big glove they used to use for knuckleballers? Like kind of like a softball glove, first baseman type glove.
Yes.
They don't really do that anymore because I think it's too difficult to get the ball out and guys will just run all over the place. But I like knuckleballs. And Sixto, like, that's hilarious. I don't even know what to say about that.
It's amazing.
What did he think was going on? I looked if he had a quote after the game. I couldn't find one. Like, what the hell was going on
there? I don't know. It was just good to see him back out there. It wasn't perfect. Three runs in 2 2/3, but he certainly gave us something to chuckle about. The knuckleball.
Have you ever hit one? Like, or been up?
Oh, you know, so when I worked at CNN, I worked with a guy named Matt Yaloff, who's now at MLB Network as well. And I remember Matt said, I think he was a decent high school baseball player. He goes, if I had 10 swings against a Tim Wakefield knuckleball, he goes, I could definitely hit one. And we're all like, you're nuts. There's no way you could. No way you could touch one. What do you think?
It just depends on the day with those guys. If they have it going, like, it's very, very difficult. But there are times where, I mean, the whole adage is see it high, let it fly with those guys. That's all you try to do is just get it up. If he messed up one, yeah, you could hit. When they miss on a knuckleball, it's a meatball. It's just hanging right there. But like I said, when they're on and they have it, the feel is there, it's just – you don't see anything like it. So it's really just about luck at that point. Average person against a Tim Wakefield, if he's on, I think you could make contact. I don't think you'd hit it hard.
Right. Might be able to, like, flick it.
Yeah, just flick it. But, like, squaring one of those up is very difficult.
God, I want to try that. That should be my goal. I want to get out there and try one.
I'm trying to think, like, do we know any knuckleballers? Like, it's tough. I got one, but it's not, like, a good one.
Yeah, all you guys screw around with that stuff when you're playing catch, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did you ever play with a guy who could throw it?
Who had a good one? I remember somebody. I'm blanking on who it was, though.
Yeah. I love the knuckleball, man. Every team should be required to have one in their organization. Required.
I don't mind that.
And then if you make it, you make it.
I faced so many guys. I faced RA. I faced Tim Wakefield, RIP. Stud.
Yeah.
And there was another guy. I think the White Sox had a guy at 1.2.
Yeah, there's been a bunch over the years. Okay. That'll do it. Enjoy your
That's
day
it.
Baseball. Enjoy your NFL draft. I will not be here on Friday. We're still working on fill-in, but don't worry. I think I got
something. I'm taking the show over.
Yeah, I love it when you do that. I just hope that I still get my seat when I'm back here on Monday.
Maybe.
So just check our social media channels on what time. It'll probably be noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, since you do have Talkin' Baseball, which is always very cool. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented, even if he isn't a knuckleballer, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. Somebody will see you Friday on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.